In the spirit of New Year's Eve, KHNS presents What I Learned, Life Lessons from the Haynes Middle School. What I Learned features funny, scary, and thoughtful essays from teacher Lisa Andreessen's creative writing course. 6th, 7th, and 8th graders came into the KHNS studios and read their stories of facing fears and personal reflection out loud for us. Stay tuned for wild rides, hunting trips gone awry, oral surgery, and why one should always rinse one's blueberries before eating. A quick disclaimer, these stories were not edited for bodily functions. Some names were changed to avoid hurting feelings. Presenting What I Learned, Life Lessons from the Haynes Middle School, up next.
Teeth Surgery by Haley Boron from the 6th grade. No, 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 I thought to myself. I'd never thought that I would have to go through surgery, the type of surgery with complex IV machines and heart monitors. I honestly didn't know what to think about it. Should I be scared, excited, or happy that I'm going to have 2 less teeth than the average human? I knew the surgery would help me in the future, considering that I wouldn't be stuck with 2 adult teeth lodged up in my gum anymore. When my dad and I arrived at the dentistry building, I had a bad case of the jitters. I was asking myself a lot of questions. Will it hurt? Will the surgery go wrong? How will the dentist know if I were asleep or not? Even though I didn't want surgery, I knew that it would be a lot better for me. I was soon taken into a room with lots of strange mechanisms and lamps. It was a quite cozy room, not too colorful, but cozy. When I met Dr. P, I was not too sure about letting him do surgery on my teeth. It was not the fact that he was kind of old, but he had a weird eye. It was kind of bulging, it was pink, cracked, and it was dilated facing sideways with some sort of white film over it. I hope he knows what he's doing, or see what he's doing, I think to myself with worry. Hello, Haley, said Dr. P with a smile. Why don't you take a seat in the chair for me? I did what I was told while gripping my dad's hand for comfort. Dr. P asked me to tell him a little bit about myself. I told him about life in Haynes and my fast-paced tooth loss. After a bit of talking, he finally got to work. Now, I'm going to give you a tiny shot for an IV. An IV makes you sleep, he explains. The shot was quick. It felt like a small bee sting. The IV was one of the weirdest things that I've ever felt. I could feel warm currents of water being pumped through my vein. I stared at the light above me, eagerly waiting to get tired. Instead of tiredness, I felt like I needed to laugh. So I laughed, and laughed, and laughed. Does the medicine make you laugh? I say, trying to hold back laughter. Right when Dr. P was about to say his answer, I fell asleep. When I woke up, everything turned into paranoia. I was dazed while looking at the room around me. There were flashes of many swirling colors, and some colors I've never seen before. I wanted to run and hide from all the weirdness, but for some reason, I didn't. What is happening? Where am I? Is this real life? Let me out! I screamed inside my head. Being in anesthesia was like switching into different scenes in a movie. After a few seconds, the area around me changed into a different setting. Suddenly, I was in the weirdest hallucination yet. Gray creatures with big eyes were looming over me like giant tall trees. Who are you? I spat with my face as numb as a rock. Where the heck am I? I questioned, staring into the light.
Go to sleep, Haley,
said one of the creatures.
You're getting your teeth extracted. We're almost done,
said another one of the creatures. Yay. Yay for chickens, I say softly while drifting into another deep sleep. When I woke up, everything was blurry and bright. My vision soon cleared up, and I saw the dentist finishing up the surgery. Hello, Haley, said Dr. P's assistant. How do you feel? She asked. I didn't answer. Instead of saying that I was fine, tears streamed down the sides of my face uncontrollably like miniature waterfalls flowing from my eyes. Huh? I muttered. I'm gonna, I say nauseously. You're going to what? Asked the assistant. I'm gonna... Before I can even finish my sentence, I'm interrupted by me choking up vomit all over myself, the dentist chair, and of course, the dentist. I'm sorry, I say with numbness, holding back real words. It's okay, says the assistant. This happens a lot with kids your age, she says. The dentist soon helps me walk to my dad because for some reason, my legs couldn't move and felt like spindly toothpicks. As I wobbled towards him, I finally felt safe and sound. So, how did surgery go? Asked Dad. I didn't want to talk or else I would start throwing up again. Ugh, please, never again, I mumble, holding back more vomit. So, what have I learned from this experience? I learned that as simple as it sounds, teeth surgery is darn right weird and complicated. I also learned that whenever you're going through something scary, try to have an optimistic attitude about it. Because of me looking on the bright side of getting surgery, I wasn't that scared, except for when I was in anesthesia. Now that was scary. The Gator Slide by Eli Williamson. What I learned this day was going to help me tell the truth through life from every day after this one. Want to know what I learned? Well, I'll tell you. Listen. There I was, standing in front of the biggest water slide in the park. Yeah, I'm gonna ride the gator, and finally have something to write about in class. Just the week earlier, we were reading our stories in front of class. Everybody had stories about roller coasters and theme parks. What did I have a story about? Jumping down a ladder into a beanbag. This would be the one story I could tell in front of the class. I thought to myself as I was swept over with determination. Soon that the determination was swept away by the fright as I stared in horror of being half an inch too short to ride the slide. This is where lies and deceit surrounded me and shrouded me from the light of the truth. Dark thoughts of green and gluttony danced in my head to summon a dark lie to impress my friends. Okay, bud, you ready to get in line? My dad asked excitedly. Yeah, let's ride this ride! Woo! I said overdramatically, as if saying it loud enough would wash away my chance of getting caught. But my fate was sealed the moment I surrendered to lies and greed. The first sign of this realization came in the form of a cold sweat dripping down my spine. I felt enclosed in cold lies and sweat. Part of my mind urged me to stop and end this madness. But every time the line creaked forward, I would always find myself taking a long, exaggerated step towards the front of the line. Every step was harder than the next. My heart was beating out of my chest. I was surprised my heart was still in my chest. Hey, bud, you want to go first? My dad said abruptly.
Yeah, I want to go first! Woo!
I shouted melodramatically. Okay, my dad said confused. Okay, this is good. No one will know I'm too short, I thought to myself as I turned my head in horror at the lifeguard, the one that could take me off the slide for my terrible deeds. My mind reminded me of the tyranny, but still, I took one more humongous step towards the beginning of the slide. She stared at me and yelled, "Go ahead!" Yes, I was going to ride the gator. I was so excited to go on the slide. I smirked. Soon I stepped into the slide, and that second it hit me. Maybe they have these rules for a reason. Will I survive? But it was too late. I already got in. No, I'm gonna fly off the track, I thought to myself as I flew down the slide. At every turn, the gator threatened to throw me up. No, 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 I repeated in a muffled tone. My mind spun round and round. All I saw was a gator smiling at me. But for that second, I forgot about my horrible lies, so I half enjoyed the ride. I fell into a deep pool surrounded by warmth. My body emerged from the pool, completely erased that lie that I once caused. I turned my head to the sound of a splash. It was my dad, submerging in the water. You up for seconds? My dad laughed, sticking his head out of the water. Yeah, I shouted with excitement. Then we better get going before the line gets longer, he smiled. We climbed up the rusty stairs to ride the gator again. We soon came against the same line, which made me think, why was I afraid in the first place? Then I saw the height limit. My feelings that seemed to disappear came back and caused me to feel heavy all the way through the line. I imagined how disappointed my dad would be. He is highly against me lying. I would hate to disappoint him. On the other hand, he likes it when I come clean. On the other hand, my dad wanted to have a fun time at this park. I am so confused about how not to disappoint my dad. The end of the line was near, at least, but there was a new lifeguard. No, she'll catch my lie. The line crept forward again. Hey, the lifeguard shouted. Me? I whimpered. Yeah, stand there. Stand here, she said, gesturing at the height limit stick. I stood motionless for a while. Soon I took a slow wandering path, staring at my feet. My lie will be realized in front of all these people, I thought in horror. Then it came true on the wood plank that was the height limit. Sorry, you'll have to come again next year, she said softly. Oh well, my dad said sympathetically. My heart dropped, my eyes welled up, my face turned red, but I just kept on a smile. Well, must have misread it, I supposed, I enthused, fighting back the tears as I turned around as fast as I could and walked briskly away. My mind found everything bad, and which just pushed the tears further against my eyes. Then, when I ran out of things that would make me feel worse, I started coming up with a great good thing about being caught. If I hadn't been caught, I would have rode again and again, then feel worse about it. Well, that's too bad. So, do you want to go on any other rides, my dad said? Yeah, for the first time in true guilt-free happiness.
For the rest of that day and every day, the lesson of truth and to never keep up a lie stuck in my head for a very long time.
Squirrel Hunting by Emma Gillum. Have you ever wondered why people want to frighten themselves? Why people would jump onto the tallest roller coaster just for the thrill of falling weightless for a split second? Maybe it's just because they want to conquer their fears. Or maybe because they don't like the feeling, but they're trying to impress their friends. Well, I can tell you that I do not like the feeling of fear rising up from my gut and up into my brain, jamming the gears of my mind like gum. Earlier that week, it was just a normal day, crisp with the morning dew and a touch of frost on my window. I woke to the sound of chickadees outside fighting on our bird feeder. What a wonderful way to wake up, I thought to myself. Then I remembered, today I was going squirrel hunting with Wesley and Jordan. I lower myself onto my bunk bed thinking, I hope Wesley and Jordan don't get into yet another fight. Anything with ears could hear them within a 5-mile radius. I get on some black clothes, grab my BB gun, its bullets, and run to tell my mom where I'm going to be for the day before running to go get Wesley and Jordan. Once at their door, I knock and sit down on their long stairs that were moist with the morning dew. Wesley came to the door, saw my BB gun, and said, BRB, I gotta go get my gun and Jordan. He slammed the door like I was a bear trying to get into their house. Well, I think to myself bitterly with a slight laugh, that was rude. After a few minutes, Wesley came out with Jordan, and side by side we headed out into the woods, not knowing the trouble that was growing. Once in the woods, our irrelevant chatter was canceled, like a ferry ride in the middle of an ice storm. I slowly took my position in between Wes and Jordan, aware of every leaf, tree, and squirrel. There's a small trail that you follow to get to our meeting place. It goes along, flat as a grassy field of grain. Then it comes to a small hill with another on the side of the little creek. We follow that, occasionally going off the trail to look for a squirrel's home. Soon we came to a small hill that leads down to the creek, with little minnows swimming desperately to get to the puddle-like pond on the end. After giving Wesley my gun, I jumped over, showing off my ninja skills. Once over, I grabbed my gun from Wesley, eager to get it back, and climb up the hill on the other side of the creek. Once on the top of the tiny Mount Everest, I see our meeting place. The Rock, we call it. We call it The Rock because, well, what better name for a rock than The Rock? I sat down on the cold, wet, mossy rock and mouthed the words, "Be quiet." We sat in silence for an hour without seeing a single squirrel, just ravens and stellar jays. "Let's head home, guys," Wesley said. "It's getting late and the bears will start coming out." The thought of being cornered by bears and nowhere to hide shivered in my brain, growing more horrifying the more I thought of it. Still oblivious to the growing danger, Jordan and I got up and followed Wes down the hill. I was a little sad that we didn't get any squirrels, but happy that Wesley and Jordan didn't get into a fight. They would be yelling at each other all the way home, leaving me to silently fall over laughing inside my head. We jump over the river once again, only this time I didn't hand Wesley my gun, I didn't show off my ninja moves, yes, I was that sad, and the danger we were still oblivious to started to grow bigger, and soon it would overwhelm us. We were walking up the last hill on our way to the street when Wesley whispered, "Guys, be absolutely silent and they won't hear us, but they might smell us." His tone made me have a full body shiver full of fear and disaster. Well, that got me scared. Who or what the heck would be watching three kids in the woods? I thought to myself. I was hoping that the thing watching us was a who and not a what. "What or who is it, Wesley?" I said with sheer terror quavering in my voice. Wesley paused, as if deciding whether the truth would be too much, then said, "Wolves." My bones locked together, my brain jammed with imaginary tar. My spine was as straight as the board. And the thought I had was, I must look like a mannequin. "Don't think like this," I yelled at myself inside my head. "I need to think." Just then, I remembered the thought I had earlier. But instead of bears, I saw wolves and my friends running away while I was trapped, never able to eat another string cheese again. Wesley gave us the signal to move slowly, and I was surprised I was able to move, for my mind had shut down and was replaced with the horror of my death. Jordan, I realized, had almost no signs of fear. "Hey, Emma," Jordan said, with more icy fear trapped in his voice than I thought was there. "Do you think we would have a chance to get away if we ran for it?" And his question just made my fear sink lower and lower like a 50-pound weight. "No, Jordan," I said with tears on the brink of showing. "We probably wouldn't have a chance." We were almost to the road that would save us when Wesley started to laugh. "What the heck, Wes? You almost gave me a heart attack." But of course, I was trying as hard as I could not to laugh. "Wesley, don't do that," Jordan said with a lot more anger in his voice. And now I understand why people want to jump onto the tallest roller coaster. Not only because they want to feel the sensation of their stomach flying into their throat, but also because people love the feeling of their heart sinking straight into their gut. The feeling that makes you feel like you're sinking into an endless pit of dark, murky, gooey tar. And today I'm happy that Wesley wasn't telling the truth, because if he was, I probably wouldn't be standing here, and I wouldn't be able to eat another string cheese. The end.
Bumpy tracks. My name is Taylor Olson. I'm in 8th grade. The wooden roller coaster started to bumpily climb the steep tracks. I could feel my fear melting away. "This isn't scary at all," I happily said to my friend Trina. "It gets even better," she said back with an excited look on her face. I was about to ask what she meant when we started to drop. Earlier that day, we were in the small silver car weaving our way through Seattle traffic. "You are going to ride the roller coaster, right guys?" Trina and her husband Sven asked Trevor and me. "I guess so. It doesn't go upside down, right? I'm not going upside down," I quickly declared. Trina shook her head. "Not that I know of." I had thought about the first time I would ride a roller coaster many times, but I had never imagined I would be this scared. I'm in line, nervously eating a cup of sherbet and cookie dough ice cream, which is a horrible thing to do right before you ride a roller coaster for the first time, but I did it anyway. It's going to be fun, Taylor. You'll love it," Trina said, trying to calm me. "Maybe," I said, as I shrugged my shoulders in an attempt to not look afraid. Every step we took towards the roller coaster, I became more and more terrified. Each time the wooden roller coaster raced by, you could see the whole structure shift a little bit. "I'm going to die," I thought. I don't know how I allowed them to talk me into this. "I don't think I want to do this," I kept saying, but they wouldn't let me back out. Before I knew it, it was our turn. Trina helped me into her small cart as Trevor climbed into the one in front of us, with a worried look on his face. Then we jolted forward and started the long climb up the steep, bumpy tracks. "This isn't too bad," I said to Trina. "Nope," she answered. I paused at the top for just a second. I hadn't thought about how we would get down from the hill we had just ascended. "Is it going to?" I started to ask. Then we dropped, and so did my stomach. I felt like I was flying. We whizzed over the bumpy track, sped around sharp corners, and dropped down steep hills. It was hard to breathe, and I was too scared to scream. Every time we started to slow down, the roller coaster would speed up again. I was terrified. But then we started to slow down for the last time, and it was our turn to get off. I took off my seatbelt and clambered out of the small cart. My legs were shaking, and it was hard to walk, but I felt calmer than I had in hours. I did it. I rode a roller coaster. Trina and Trevor had huge smiles stretched across their faces, and so did I. "That was fun," I said, and they both nodded in agreement. "Do you want to do it again?" Trina excitedly asked. "No, that's okay," I replied. I was relieved it was over, and I was very proud of myself for trying something new. I learned that even if it's scary, trying new things is definitely worth it, and I'm glad I did it. But I'm not so sure I'll be riding another roller coaster in the near future.
The First Day of Middle School by Hannah Boron. My heart was pounding and my stomach was in knots. The bell rang in a way that said, "Welcome to your doom." I tried to calm my bad thoughts down as I walked through what my class calls a stampede. As I walked on, it was hard to say goodbye to the friendly hallway that welcomed me to the elementary. We were supposed to go to our pod early since kids had to get their new lockers and everything. As I dodged through the stampede, my emotions were a mixture of happiness, anger, sadness, and self-pity. But there was one emotion that slowly rose over all of the other emotions, fear. I could feel the feeling in my stomach and my heart. I didn't know why I was scared. It can't be worse than one of my other first days, right? I thought to myself as I walked into the middle school pod. I learned where my new locker was and the combination for it. Apparently, I found out my locker was a little devil. When I did my combination, it didn't open. "Can you just open on the first time for my first day?" I thought. After two tries, my locker finally opened. I took the stuff I thought I would need for science and headed to where I was supposed to go.
When I anxiously walked into the science room, there was a seating chart on the smart board, and I found my seat. Cool, I sit next to Izella, I thought to myself. After I organized my things, I looked up and saw my teacher, Mr. Degum. He had a really, really deep voice. The kind of voice that makes your organs shake inside, like a foghorn. Once the last bunch of kids walked into the room, Mr. Degum said, "Hello, I'm Mr. Degum. I'll be your science, the class that you're in, math, and health teacher." Health. As soon as that gross embarrassment of word
"health teacher"
left his mouth, a cold aura spread over the room like fog. I felt my face go salmon pink as I buried it into my noodle arms. I looked up about 2 seconds later because my nosy instincts told me to look at the other kids' reactions. Most of the girls just went pink like I did, and the boys' eyes darted around the room. The look they had said, hear no evil, see no evil, do no evil. What disturbed me the most was some kids looked, well, amused. Why aren't you cowering in fear with the rest of us? I thought to myself as I pulled my head out of the safety and the comfort of my skinny arms. You'd think I'd had my head all the way out when I was looking at the other reactions, but I was more of like a hippo-like state, with my eyes bobbing at the surface of my arms. After science, I headed to my next class, social studies. As I walked into the room, I had bad flashbacks of the most boring social studies book in the world. I was in 5th grade at the time when the book was there. It skipped all of the cool historical events, and the interesting ones that actually managed to get into the darn thing were the shortest topics. I sighed in relief because I knew that this year's book was going to be a lot better. I was also excited about our new social studies teacher. Her name was Mrs. Totten, and she's our band teacher as well. I knew she wasn't a teacher who would give us boring assignments or boring history books, and she's also the kind of teacher who wasn't afraid to say CRAP in front of her students. By the way, I had to spell the word CRAP like it is, because I will probably get detention from Mrs. Andreessen when she reads this. I looked from my seat, but found no seating chart of any sort or any name tags on the desk. I saw my BFF Lydia sitting at a table. "Lydia," I asked, "where do I sit?" "You can sit anywhere you want. Quick, sit by me," she said happily. I sat down quickly, just at her command, and was very pleased with myself for getting a good seat. "Wait," I thought, "I won't be able to see the board past my friend's head of hair." You'd think I was being dramatic, but no, I swear Lydia has the biggest head of hair in the whole school. I wouldn't be surprised if her comb got caught in a garden gnome in those curly locks. After social studies was done, it was nutrition break, aka NB, basically a fancy word for snack. Instead of the safety of our individual classrooms in elementary, we were supposed to have NB in the cafeteria. I felt like a deer in the middle of a clearing, my eyes darting around at the packs of wolves around me, aka 7th and 8th graders. After I had my snack, I headed up to my next class, math. I had done advanced math in 5th grade, and the truth is, I sucked at it. I wanted to take normal 6th grade math this year instead of going to 7th grade math with all other advanced kids. Honestly, I don't think I'm even an advanced kid. Math was really easy, and the homework I had wasn't even 5th grade math to me. I guess if you did well in 5th grade, 6th grade will be as easy as pie. My next class was PE, and this is one of the classes I was looking forward to. And why was the reason I was so excited? Because we had a New York Knicks coach. At least retired one. I don't watch basketball, but I know that they are a pro team. It was a long but good day. Band was hard. I didn't know how to play my instrument correctly at the time. Computers class is fantastic, and PE was really fun because we got to meet our new coach. I packed up my stuff and walked down the ramp. I couldn't wait to tell my mom how the first day of middle school was. As I walked down the ramp, I thought to myself how things aren't always as bad as they seem, unless it's health class. Then it is. My feet tapped quietly on the tiles as I thought, well, that wasn't as bad as it seemed.
Sketchy situations, James Willard, I'm in 8th grade. Due to school policy, I have to change a word, but you'll know what I meant. Have you ever had that scary feeling when you're tipping in your chair and almost fall backwards? Your stomach feels like it just did a somersault and you have a small freak out? Well, I had that feeling, but 100 times worse. My friend and I decided to climb a mountain, not up a trail, but a straight up round rock. He laughed, it won't be that bad. The way up was pretty fun, but we slipped a couple times because a loose rock would crumble under our feet. After we got past the rocks, it turned to forest. The grass was really wet and slippery. If we fell, we would have tumbled down the woods and fallen down over 30 feet onto boulders, which would have definitely killed us. As we looked down, I said, "How are we going to get down?" And he laughed, "I guess we'll just find out." We were halfway up the mountain where we wanted to go, and the view was amazing. You could see from way out the road, down the canal, and even out Mud Bay. My friend took out his phone and took a picture. We both exclaimed, "This is so effing awesome." Out of nowhere, a tree root I was holding onto snapped, and I yelled, "Oh, shipwreck!" My stomach lurched, and I started sliding backwards down a wet grass. Right there, I got the feeling of falling backwards in my chair, but instead of thinking, "Oh no, I might have hit my head," I was thinking to myself, "You're dead." Luckily, my friend caught me. If he hadn't caught me, I would have dropped to my death. It was so scary. After that, we started to climb back down. It was easy to get down from the forest part, but once we got to the rocks, we were slipping around all over the place. A rock would slip from under our feet here and there, which would have made us slip like 5 feet. But we finally got to the bottom and said, "We're never doing that again." And he said, "Definitely." And to this day, neither of us have gone back up there.
The story that I'm reading is called Blueberry Picking. My name is Rain Wing, and I'm in 7th grade. Let's go! Hurry up! Come on! My mom and I got our buckets and headed to the woods next to our house. Every year from the time I was 4 to 10 years old, my mom and I went blueberry picking in the summer. It used to be my favorite thing to do. One of the only reasons I liked it was I got to eat the blueberries while picking them. My mom always told me not to, but I never listened to her. "Hey, Mom, I found a great bush." I grabbed a few blueberries and smashed them into my bucket. I saw a really huge bright blue one, and when my mom wasn't looking, I stuffed it into my mouth. I was only 6 at the time, so half of the blueberry missed my mouth and went all over my face. "Okay, Rain," my mom said, "I'll pick this half, and you can pick the other half." "Hey, why is your mouth purple around the sides? I told you not to eat the blueberries. Some of them have worms in them, and they aren't clean yet." "I wasn't eating any blueberries. I was picking them, see?" I shoved the bucket in her face. I shoved it so close to her face that she had to take a step back. "Yes, I see it, but don't lie to me. I know you ate a blueberry," she scolded me. I walked over to the bush we were going to pick and set my bucket on the ground. I bent over trying to pick the blueberries on the lower part of the bush. One of them looked really big. I got it near my mouth when I noticed my mom watching me. "Put the blueberry in the bucket. I told you not to eat them," my mom angrily told me. "I didn't put it in my mouth. I looked at it," I screamed, about to have a fit that I wasn't allowed to eat the blueberries. "I saw you were about to eat the blueberry. Don't lie or talk back to me. We're picking these for other people to make jam. They're not just for you," my mom explained to me with a deafening tone. I felt myself roll my eyes. I guess I was maybe being a little bit selfish. But I was the one working to pick them. I should get more. I was angry that I wasn't allowed to eat the blueberries. So, I grabbed another blueberry from the bush and squished it to death. The purple juice from it squirted all over my shoe. I ripped another blueberry off the bush, along with half the branch, and threw it on the ground and stomped on it. "No fair," I grumbled to myself. "Would you like to go back in the house and be grounded?" my mom asked me. "No, I'm picking blueberries," I snapped back. "No, you're having a fit like a 2-year-old does. Now are you going to act your age and pick the blueberries or act like a brat and be grounded?" she asked. "I'll pick the blueberries and be good. Sorry," I said with a rude tone to it. I started picking more blueberries. Some of them looked really big and juicy, but I had to force myself to just put them into the bucket. Once the first bush got thoroughly picked, my mom and I went to the next one. "I'm getting bored," I complained. "Every year you want to go blueberry picking and you always complain that we don't do it enough. 2 more bushes, then we'll go inside," my mom said. I usually have fun picking the bushes, but all the other times I got to eat the blueberries. So, to make things interesting, I decided to eat another one the second my mom turned around. "Ooh, this bush has a lot of blueberries on the bottom," my mom exclaimed. She bent down and started picking the bush ferociously.
Perfect timing, I thought to myself. Now I can eat some blueberries without getting caught. I bent down to pick a blueberry. I snatched it off the bush and shoveled it into my mouth. I was so excited. I finally got to do what I wanted. I grabbed another one, eyeing my mom to make sure she wasn't watching me. They tasted really sweet, and I wanted another one. I looked in the bush and saw a huge blueberry. I slowly picked it off the bush, thinking how good it was going to taste. I shoveled it in my mouth. If only I listened to my mom, I wouldn't have gone through so much trouble. I started chewing when something wasn't right. As I chewed the blueberry, it started to taste really rubbery. It was also as dry and hard as sandpaper. I gagged as I felt that the blueberry was moving. It was moving down to my throat that I could feel a stringy blob that tasted like rotten dirt. I gagged some more. I snorted my nose and hacked the mushy berry mess in my bucket. I almost fainted at what I saw. It may have looked like a blueberry on the outside, but not on the inside. What I looked at was a greenish blueberry with a worm. Mom, a worm, I yelled. A huge white cued worm lay in the midst of my freshly picked blueberries. The second I saw that worm, a million thoughts rushed in my head. Was the worm poisonous? Are there worms in my stomach? Do all blueberries have worms in them? I started to get really scared from the worm and couldn't help but cry. Mom, it's in my bucket, I sniveled. She set her bucket down and rushed toward me. She looked in the bucket and saw the worm. See, I told you not to eat the blueberries. Now I have to dump half the bucket out. She huffed. I'm sorry, I trembled. It's okay, but you're supposed to listen to what I say to you. That's why you don't eat blueberries until they've been soaked in salt water, she said as she dumped a quarter of my bucket out. Well, I think we have enough blueberries now anyway. I found a great bush behind us. Okay, I said, still shaking from having a worm in my mouth. Mom, is the worm poisonous? I managed to sputter out from my trembling lips. No, it's okay, Rain. That was the only worm, and it wasn't poisonous. That's why you should listen to me, she comforted. She gave me a hug to make sure I would stop worrying about the worm. My mom and I walked through the opening in the woods and went back to our house. I helped my mom pour the buckets into a huge bowl with salt water in it. The next day, I saw my mom early in the morning making jam with the blueberries. That night at dinner, we had toast with blueberry jam on it. Are there worms in this jam? I asked with a scared tone to it. No more worms. They got rinsed out when the blueberries were dumped into the salt water, my mom assured me. Okay, I said. I slowly grabbed my piece of toast and nibbled on it. I glanced at my mom, and she was happily eating her toast, dropping some of the jam on the table. I took another bite and decided that there was no worms in it. The next summer, I went blueberry picking, and I had my face at least a foot away from the bucket at all times. I will never eat a blueberry again without making sure there are no worms in it, or it has been soaked in salt water for a while. I think I should always listen to my mom, because when I don't, bad things happen.
Thanks for listening to What I Learned, Life Lessons from the Haines Middle School. What I Learned featured works by Haley Boron, Eli Williamson, Emma Gillum, Taylor Olson, Hannah Boron, James Willard, and Rain Wing. Thanks to the students for their creativity and humor. Special thanks to Lisa Andreessen and Jeannie Kitayama for loaning us these awesome kids. Recording them was one of the highlights of this producer's year. We hope the lessons they offered resonate as you contemplate the new year to come. What I Learned was produced in the Haines KHNS Studios by Amelia Nash.